Earlier this summer, we had a lobster bake of sorts under a pavilion at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. It was an absolutely gorgeous event, part of SPAC's Culinary Arts Events, with Chef Devin Finnegan, owner of Aragosta, recognized as one of Food & Wine's best restaurants in both 2024 and 2025. Finnegan shares stories from her debut cookbook, A Kitchen on Goose Cove, a love letter to Maine's pristine seafood, seasonal produce, and the rhythms of life along its storied coastline. I had the privilege of talking to Devin before a live audience at SPAC about her book and about her work.
Oh, my goodness. How are you, Devin?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Big hand. Oh, Devin Finnegan and the beautiful book.
Thank you. I'm so excited about the book.
My God, you should be. It's gorgeous. You were telling me earlier 3 years you've been working on this. At what point did you say, oh, we should put this between covers?
I thought, I'll write a cookbook. It'll be fine. 3.5 years later, here it is. It was a lot of work. A lot of my love and sweat went into this book, and I'm so proud of it. And it's surreal to see it everywhere tonight. I love it so much. Really great recipes in it, just saying.
So what comes first? You have an idea of what the recipes are, and then obviously there's the photography, there's figuring out the story that you're going to tell and put it out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I have had my restaurant since 2013, and every time I go and talk to a table, the guess is, where can I get this recipe? And I've heard this since 2013. So a little, thought in my head at one point, I should probably write a cookbook. And then I was introduced to Peter Kaminsky, who's my voice in the cookbook. And I was so honored. And it took a lot of, structuring and ingredients. I wrote this cookbook while running a very busy restaurant. It was amazing. And it was intense.
When you say, all while you're running the restaurant, and so do you keep that in mind of like, okay, well, we can work this and this turned out well, let's take a picture of it.
Yes, I mean, to be honest, the first shoot with Will, who my photographer lives in Uruguay, and I actually went down to Uruguay. It's far. I had no idea. It's like, whoa.
Nobody in Maine to take a photo, right?
He came 4 times. I was like, wow, Will.
All right.
But the first shoot, I realized when Will came, I wasn't ready for it. I needed to get my head wrapped around it. And that's when he came for the first time and I got to experience, meet Will for the first time. And that's when we really got the aesthetic of where I live, because it's magical. It's islands, it's the ocean, it's forest, it's fishermen, it's farmers. That was the first visit. The next visit is when I started cooking and plating things and having really the concept of what I envisioned for this cookbook.
When you look at it, does the what struck you? Because obviously, I assume you enjoy cookbooks. You enjoy the art of a cookbook.
I do. I love cookbooks. I have a lot of them.
So to then try to do your own take on that with your own. But it all begins with the recipes, of course.
It all begins with the recipes, and I wanted to kind of tell my story as the home cook, because this is for the home cook, right? My restaurant, Aragosta, is very fancy. That's not this cookbook. This is a cookbook that my kids help me, make the dumplings that are in this cookbook, make the whoopie pies. And,
there's a whoopie pie.
There's
right there.
The whoopie pie. And yeah. There's one of my daughter's, dirty little hands with that whoopie pie. I wanted to take the things that I love to cook, seasonal, because it's very seasonal in Maine, and put it into a book. So that's what I did.
I have so many questions for you, but let me begin with this one. What's fish caramel?
So, yeah, fish caramel. I came up with this idea. I cook over wood fire, and I'm kind of a pyromaniac, to be honest. But I wanted
Hence why we're outside tonight.
Fish caramel is literally fish sauce and aromatics of ginger and scallions and garlic, brown sugar, and you just cook it down in butter. And it just, you can take anything from fried chicken to wood-fired vegetables to tempura fried cauliflower. It just brings an umami, sweet and sour. That's really, you just want to keep going back. And the shelf life is really great for that sauce.
Okay, so tell me, what's the shelf life?
It's like a month in the refrigerator. It's
oh, that's
so
great. That's yeah. great. So yeah. you make it, you make it like a big vat of it.
I mean, you don't, I mean, to be honest, you don't need much. The recipe probably yields about 2 cups. That 2 cups, that'll keep the summer. You're good. Grilling on the summer season.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really great.
That's wonderful. Now, let me ask you about the geography, because so much of this is about Maine. And I was learning in the book, there's the map of where the restaurant is. And so you go up to Portland, but then it's 3 hours from Portland.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you were, like, by
boat?
If you. Well, by flying, if you were a bird, it wouldn't be that far, right? It's not that far from Portland.
You as just, a crow flies?
Yes, the crow flies.
It's, well, I mean, in a car, it's 3 hours up, over, and down. We're on an island, a bridge. We're in the Blue Hill Peninsula. It's islands, it's magic. It's hard to explain until you come, but it is rural Maine with just lighthouses and fishermen. Where I live is the biggest fishing port in the whole country, Stonington. That lobster you ate tonight, Stonington lobster, the fishermen, they slay it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
That's
really amazing.
So now you, so how many people live on the island?
Year-round people, 2,600. And then in the summer, it's like 10 to 12,000. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Explaining that to my staff, you know, after really July 4th, a light switches and it's a madhouse, which I can, you know, is probably similar to this area with the racetrack.
Yeah.
But we're seasonal. I mean, this is how, you know, we survive in Maine. It's important. And we are a destination, Aragosta.
The restaurant is open.
We just opened. We open May 7th. We go until the third Sunday in October.
Okay.
Whatever that date is.
Yeah.
Do a lot of weddings, like 22, for example, this year. and I present a tasting menu. When we open in May, it's an a la carte menu for the community, really, to be able to come. We are a place that you come to celebrate. I can't tell you when I do lineup every night with the wait staff, it's birthdays, it's anniversaries, it's honeymoons, it's baby moons. We are where you want to come to celebrate.
So it is a destination, but it's also, it's, I would assume, a community, very much a community place.
Oh, yes.
As well.
Yeah. It's a community of entrepreneurs, artists, fishermen, blacksmiths, coffee roasters, potters.
Blacksmiths?
Yeah.
How many horses do you have there?
Well, I wish I had a horse. there's not many horses. However, you know, the signs for my restaurant were made by my friend who's a blacksmith. The bar where you would put your feet, blacksmith.
Okay.
I'm all about using the community. I am a huge supporter of you come to me and show me what your trade and what you want to have, and I'll figure out a way to make it part of Aragosta. It's full circle, right?
Where does the name come from?
It means lobster in Italian. And right. I love Italy. I used to go and cook there, and I think it's perfect because we're in a fishing community for lobster.
So, as Chris mentioned, you grew up in
Vermont
and a snowboarder.
Yep.
Yeah. And how'd that go?
I blew my ACL, so it went okay.
If you hadn't had that injury, what would you have wanted to do?
I don't know. Maybe a professional golfer. My dad was a chef. I grew up in the kitchen. I had three sisters, and I was the one that worked in the kitchen, and I loved it. And that's why I opened my restaurant. I love to show people I care about them through food. I love to entertain and have a good time. And that's literally why I opened Aragosta.
You would spend summers, you would go to Maine in the summer.
Yep.
To visit.
Yep.
And then at one point, you're how old when you take the turn on route off of Route 1 and you go and visit this place that is now your home?
Yeah, I think I was 17 or 18. One of my sisters went to Haystack. There's Haystack School of Arts and Crafts in Deer Isle. It's world famous. And my sister Mel went for maybe a month and a half. I came along for the ride and didn't realize that that would be my home. You know, went to school for photography. I'm a self-taught chef. But I loved, there's something unique and hard to describe about Deer Isle. You just have to go there. And it's the most picturesque Maine, like postcard setting you could ever imagine. It's not big waves, it's rocky coastline, it's islands, it's lighthouses in the background, it's the fog, it's the smell of the salt air. And there was such a young group of entrepreneurs that wanted to live in this area, and I loved that. And, you know, clearly I haven't left.
How many, once you decide to open the restaurant, how do people find you? How did they find you?
Well, my first restaurant, the Aragosta, when I opened it in Stonington, it was Main Street. Main Street's pretty tiny, so I think if you were to visit, you would just walk by. I mean, that's when, like, Instagram was, like, new. We were written up. We started being noticed for what was going on, and that was more so that I was the fancy place, the place, you know, you can go and get fish and chips anywhere on the island, but you could only get my signature butter poached lobster ravioli at Aragosta. And I just, I like things to be pretty.
A guttural murmur went through the room. It's that.
I don't know. I think that I just had this vision of something pretty and delicious, and it seems to be working. Joe.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I believe you. Yes. It seems to me that is, but. Everyone, we have done many of these events, and we talk to a lot of chefs. I mean, it's a tough business, but you're
sure
in
is.
You're in a place that is very remote, and yet you're able to make it work on a seasonal basis.
Yes, it is a tough business, and to be honest, my dad, who is a chef, begged me to not open a restaurant. Please don't open a restaurant, Devin, for 3 years, and I didn't listen to him. And I, after the third year being open, he said he would stop talking to me about it because I was doing something right. But to be honest, Aragosta at Goose Cove is much more than just a restaurant. We are a resort. We're 21.9 acres on the coast of Maine, abutting a natural preserve. I have 9 cabins. We can house 40 guests. We do a lot of weddings, four moorings. Boats come. It's like the French Riviera out there on Sundays. At and I mean, I am my own oyster farm. It took me 4 years to get that. Exclusive oysters that you can only have at Aragosta.
Wait, so what do you mean when you say I have my own oyster farm?
It means that I raise oysters. And
okay.
they're the Aragosta oyster.
That
and
seems hard.
It is hard. I joke to people. I say I got the oyster farm for a tan. Which is I do like being tan, but I mean, clearly it's for the oyster. It's exclusive to the restaurant, which that's the exclusiveness is kind of always my vision of Aragosta at Goose Cove. I have beehives, oyster farm. I mean, the property is so vast. I've only been there 7 years. There's much more to come.
And room to grow.
Yes, sir.
And you would like, how do you envision that now?
Well, I mean, I would like to have hoop houses and raise, you know, grow all the greens that I could ever want and the garnish I could ever want. I won't I mean, I do think it's important to support the local community, so I'm never going to cut my farmers out because I love my farmers. But I think in order for guests to come onto the property and see a hoop house that, you know, has squash blossoms growing and nasturtiums, it just all, before you even crest the hill and see the Atlantic Ocean, you're thinking, okay, this is farm to table. And then you crest the hill and it's the Atlantic Ocean and you can smell the ocean. It's a chef's dream. I'm literally living a chef's dream. It's as fresh as you can get it from the coast of Maine onto the plate.
Let me ask you about the lobster, obviously a key attraction. And so what is it of where you are? You mentioned the immensity of the port, but how many lobsters come out of those waters?
So many millions. I mean, yeah. I have no idea. I'm going to say a wrong number, but we'll say 30 million. I have no idea. So the most lobster in the country.
Okay.
Come from Stonington, Maine. It's amazing.
Within how many miles is that? I mean, what kind of area are we talking about?
Well, I mean, the fishermen. So a fisherman, you're allowed 800 traps to fish.
All right.
And you can fish up until 10 miles. After 10 miles, it's federal water, right? So once you head into federal water, you need special permits. A lot of those fishermen, they can't afford those special permits. But they don't need them because the lobster we ate tonight, that was hard shell lobster, which is in season right now. In the summer in Maine, in June, those lobsters make their little trek up into shoal water where they're gonna shed their shells. And we refer to those as shedders or soft shell lobster. That's what, and so it, literally the lobster comes up, sheds its shell in shoal water, and then it's like kind of lethargic and it's gonna make its way back out. That's what those fishermen are catching. And there's a lot of them. And yeah. They're sweet, they're delicious, and they're easy to, you know, crack open and eat at any table in Maine in the summertime.
When you roughly, and no specifics needed, but roughly from the time that it hits the plate, the lobster was in the water, how long ago?
I mean, in order to keep a lobster in the state of Maine, it has to be a certain size, 4 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, from the time that it's caught to the time that it goes to the...
to the time it's caught to me, like I process, 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sometimes quicker than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's halibut season right now in Maine. It opened on May 18th in our zone. Got a fish the first day. I love that. Even though I was in New York City, it got broken down at the restaurant. But, you know, when I think of the cooking in Maine, I think, I always say this, I know my season has started when I start to smell halibut on my, like, arms. Because I'm a chef. I'm in the kitchen. After halibut season, it's strawberries. After strawberries, it's mackerel. The mackerel start running. After mackerel, it's peaches. After that, it's tuna. After that, I mean, it's the nature of the seasons. And as a chef, that's how I cook. And I feel so thankful for that.
Oh, let me ask a technical question, because I remember reading about this, reading a whole book about this, but there was a great worry about lobsters and being overfished and so forth. What is the state of that right now?
Well, I think the state of Maine is doing it correctly. We have regulations. It can only be a certain size. If there's a female lobster that has carried eggs, it's punched a V in the tail. So the state of Maine is doing everything correctly. However, when you leave the state of Maine and you head into Massachusetts and all these other states, there's not regulations. You can keep female lobsters. So I think for the state of Maine...
Critic.
Yeah. I feel like the state of Maine is doing it correctly. We want our industry of fishermen to survive. We, you know, in order to do that, you have to have regulations, and I think they're really strong on that.
Do you, when you look at the cookbook as a whole, and what you, from all those seasons, and what you've done, is there, just when a season comes in, is there one particular one that you say, oh my God, this is great, this is fantastic, I smell like halibut, but this is great.
I I love the fall. I love the fall so much. I think that when I think of this cookbook, I remember parts of this cookbook, and it was cooking over live fire down at the beach, and the Anadama little sliders you had tonight, that was a replica of in the cookbook. They were a little bigger, but I love the cooking of the fall, the squash, the smell. I mean, growing up in Vermont, it's apples, right? So, like, anything cider and braised, the cabbage, you know, fall, for sure.
Yeah. You were talking about this at the table, and it struck me, but the act of going from table to table, you're cooking, you're going out, you're talking to people. Is that enjoyable?
I love talking to people. I, you know, sometimes my time is limited, right? My job
well,
at the restaurant is I expedite the restaurant, so that's literally the flow of the restaurant is in control of me. So I could go out. Everyone wants to say hi to me, and I want to say hi to everyone. I love chatting, but at a point, I'm like, uh-oh, I got to go back.
Right, sure.
But I have a solid staff, and I'm so thankful. I mean, we're literally open tonight serving food. Woo-wee! And I'm here with you. I love this.
Now,
I could get used to this.
Now, how much are you... Well, we love having you here.
Thank
my
you.
My goodness. How much have you been checking in today to see how things are going?
I mean, a couple times, Joe. I'm not going to lie.
No, that's fine. I wouldn't expect anything else.
I have to have trust in my staff. However, there's a certain, you know, there's only one of me. I have to check in.
Yes.
And make sure that things are going as a cord, you know. But they're doing a great job. I'm proud of them. It's good for them. They can take ownership. It makes people feel responsible.
Well, don't go away for too long. thank you all for coming out tonight. Thank you for such a beautiful evening. Thank you for making this possible. And you're delightful.
Oh,
you're
thank
absolutely
you, Joe.
Delightful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for this wonderful evening,
and
for making it so special for all of us. Devin Finning, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Speaking to Chef Devin Finnegan, owner of Aragosta Restaurant in Maine. She's the author of the debut cookbook, A Kitchen on Goose Cove. We spoke to her at a live culinary arts event at SPAC. You can find out more about those events by going to SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.